We're doing the Maral, we're doing the Beir Agula, we're up to page Yud in the standard editions, page Tess and Hartman editions, and we had learned how the rabbis had said the earlier generations were so huge they were like the entrance to the Ulam, the latter generations were like the entrance to the Heichal, the Anu, and they said, and we are Kimlo Nakav Nekev Machat Tzidkit, we are like the eye of a needle. V'amar, and they said, V'anu kim nekev machat sidkit, we're like the eye of a needle, perush, meaning, kim madrigat bnei adam ata im madrigat ha-shlishit, because our level today, in the days of the Amoraim, in the days of Rabbi Yochanan, who was quoting this, is a third level, shegover aguf al-sechel, that our physical overcomes our spiritual, the body overcomes the mind, v'shi'ur kabbalat ha-sechel k'shi'ur petach machat sidkit. And when we are so physical, so then our capacity to be cerebral, our capacity to grow spiritually, is like the eye of a needle. Chazal taught us that the two are correlated. Meaning the more physical a person is, the less he has capacity for spirituality. The more the mind overcomes the body, so then the more he can be spiritual. Anytime a person invests his energies and his focus on the physical world, he is diminishing his capacity to grow spiritually. There's a balance, and when you shift it off balance in one way, so then the other side loses. When we say the eye of a needle, that's the example of a hole that's as small as a hole could possibly be, right? You always try to make the needle as small as possible so that you don't pierce the material. So the hole of the eye of a needle is the smallest hole possible. There's no smaller hole that we could have. And so too, in their generations, what they were saying is, we are so physical that the only thing that's left of our minds is the minimum that can be. That's Rabbi Yochanan. We discussed Rabbi Yochanan, the great sage who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. He says his generation is so small that they have the minimal amount of thinking, the minimal amount of spirituality to just discern between them and animals. Meaning, we're as small as can be. That's what Rabbi Yochanan meant to say when he said, we're like that hole of a needle. Yes?
So, what's that worry focused on physical
So, I think that the measurement of a person's spirituality and how much he focuses on the physical world is not measured by whether he eats three meals a day or two meals a day. I think it's measured by how he eats, when he eats, and how focused he is on different things in his life. Meaning, two people could eat the same meal. And one of them is eating it, and he is a very spiritual person, and that's reflected in the way he eats. And another person could eat the same meal, and it's a totally different meal. I'm not sure that what we're reading here has to be in contradiction with the concept that we take the physical world and uplift it. But the rabbis were very realistic about their own levels, and they recognize that they're not on the level of their predecessors. So Rav Yochanan says, our generation is like that hole that a needle makes when it goes through the cloth, that you're trying to make that the smallest hole possible. Not like I said earlier, the eye of a needle, it's the hole of a needle. The hole when you try to sew something up, so you don't want the needle to make a big hole. The whole idea is you're fixing something, you don't want it recognizable. That's what Rav Yochanan says. We are the minimum of the minimum in our capacity for spirituality. And Rav Yochanan had great aspirations, but he recognized his own shortcomings. Ki adam b'mashu adam yefshal shelo yeh lo sechel. Because a human being, so long as he's a human being, it's impossible that he won't have a mind, some form of intelligence. Dim ken yaka be'emot nidma. Because if he lacked the mind, well then he'd be an animal, wouldn't he? U'machal shesichlo rak b'shvi sheyeh nikra alav shem sechel. And when he reaches the level that the mind is just there so that you could say he has a mind, shiul shelo biyoter katon. So then obviously you're talking about the minimum amount, kedei sheitkeyem bo shem sechel. The minimum amount that you could actually say he's got a mind. That's what Rav Yochanan was saying about himself. וזהו שיעור הדור הזה, שהרי הגוף גובר על השכל. And that's how that generation of Rabbi Yochanan, the early generation of Amoraim, that's how they evaluated themselves, because they were testifying that in their generation, they see that the physical is overtaking the spiritual so much that there's just a minuscule amount of spiritual left within them. Minuscule amount of spirituality. And then, after we have those quotes of spirituality from Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara then continues to later generations of Abaye and Rava. And Abaye said, "Va'anan kesichta beguda ligmara." And when it comes to our understanding of Talmud, we're like the peg that you try to stick into the hole. So you have a wall, you have a crevice, you have a slight crack between two rocks in the hole, and you take a peg and you bang it in with a hammer to try and get it in. Abaye says that's how hard we have to work to try and get the Talmud into us. Perush, meaning what Abaye was saying is, Hamuskalot v'achochmot asher hem amukot, when we try to understand the depths of Talmud, v'yivshar sheyasig otam ha'adam be'atzmo ki'im merabo, there are depths of Talmud that a person cannot attain on his own. There are things that, unless you have a tradition, you're not going to understand them. Certain things you can figure out on your own. Then you come to the deeper understandings of Talmud, and those things you have to get on tradition. Asher abo gam ken kiblam. Those are things that your Rebbe didn't invent either. He got from his Rebbe. The things that we have on tradition. Yifshal lanu lamod aleim rak meat meat. About that, when Abaye spoke about Gemara, Gemara comes from the word Gemor. Gemor means tradition. Gemara literally means that which was accepted by tradition. Sometimes the Gemara says the word Gemara, and what the Gemara means by that is the following thing is on tradition. It's not derived from anywhere. It's just a tradition we have. So Abaye says when it comes to Gemara, when it comes to those areas of Talmud which you need a tradition, they're so deep you wouldn't be able to figure them out without a tradition. Well, we're like trying to stick that peg into the wall, where you have to work very hard and you hardly get it in.
Can you say the traditions come
from somewhere? From Sinai, from God. ומן אלו המושכלות העמוקות נכנס בליבנו רק כמו שיכנס היתד בעץ הקשה. So he's saying, and our capacity to understand is just like the peg only goes in a drop into the wall. That's how much we can figure out when it comes to Talmud. Abaye, remember, you'll hardly find a page in all of Shas that doesn't mention Abaye. Abaye is the father of Talmud. Throughout Talmud, if you have one Amora that shows up often, it's Abaye and his contemporary Rava. They show up on almost every single page of Talmud. And what does he say about himself? He says, and if you want to compare us to our predecessors, we're like that peg you try to stick into the wall. We barely can figure anything out. Even the things they try to explain to us based on tradition, look at how little we are. שהוא נכנס בו מעט במקום אשר העץ הוא קלוש וטוב לקבל, כך מאותם המושכלות ייכנס אל ליבנו משהו קלוש וטוב לקבל לא עיקר הדבר. Just like the peg could only go in an area where it's ready to accept the peg, and even there you could only get it in so far. So too, we have areas where we can understand the concepts that are taught to us, and we can only understand so much, and just like you don't get the whole peg into the wall, so too we don't get the whole concept. Abaye testifies about himself that he is so distant from his predecessors that even the things that he was taught and his Rebbe tried to explain to him the traditions, he says, as good as I got, I know I'm very far from getting the whole thing. So that's Abaye, the master of Talmud. Remember what we said last time. Take the biggest rabbi today, multiply him by 10 times, you get a rabbi from 500 years ago. Multiply him by about 10 or 50 times, you get a rabbi from 1,000 years ago. A rabbi today would never argue on a rabbi that lived 500 years ago. He knows that they knew Talmud better than him. The top rabbi today, take the top rabbi 500 years ago, he's 10 times as big. Take the top rabbi 1,000 years ago, he's 10 or 50 times as big as the rabbi from 500 years ago. Multiply that by maybe 100 times and you got Abaye. It's so distant from us, we don't understand the concept. The Talmud describes that Abaye's concentration would go at a week's length. Meaning he'd be focused on a topic for 1 week straight. He'd be so focused that he'd be leaning on his thumbs in a way that would cause them to bleed, and he wouldn't even notice. He'd see his thumbs bleeding, and he wouldn't know the difference. That's Abaye. And Abaye says, but you know, I'm so far from my teachers. They knew so much more than me. Oh no, he was being realistic. He's being realistic. I'll tell you. So I'll tell you a story.
How do you quantify that?
I merited to learn by Rav Pesin Zatzal. Rav Pesin was a man who was capable of writing and reading and answering a question on the phone at the same time. And he told me about the Maril Diskin, that he could look at a tree and tell you how many leaves were on the tree. And his student said, Rebbe, how do we know you're telling us the truth? We can't go count the leaves. So he said, I'll turn around, you pick as many as you want off the tree, I'll turn back and I'll tell you how many leaves are left, and you'll see if I got the difference. Okay, so Rav Pesin told me that, and he told me, doesn't that make one feel like a worm? Notice the gentile, he equated me with him. Doesn't that make one feel like a worm? Not you, not me. One. I could tell you other stories. I mean, I learned by teachers who knew the Talmud so well that when they would leaf through the Talmud, they wouldn't leaf on the top where it said the page number. They would leaf on the bottom because they knew each page based on the last word it said on the page. I mean, they could leaf, you understand, all of this. They could leaf through the bottom of the page and find the page they're looking for. They wouldn't leaf at the top. They'd leave at the bottom to check their memory to make sure they still remember. And then they'd find the page they needed and open it. You're talking about, I mean, okay.
And people also
count
part of the
casino. So it's not an issue of being humble.
But
it's an issue of,
so
they know their teachers. They know who they learned by.
They have a story about
their teachers and how much. Sure, sure. I mean, Each one saw his teacher and recognized the par between them. I often say I feel bad because to you guys I'm your rabbi, but I know who I learned by. And you know, I wish you could see people who were bigger. I mean, I could tell you stories, but it's not the same as seeing the real thing. Like you're saying, who said? Okay, so I could share with you one or two or three, but at the end of the day, takes a lot of, it's much better to see it. It's undoubtedly, I'd rather you see it. There are many stories, but I'm just saying, what the Maharal is developing, and that's why I feel it's so important for us to learn this, is a perspective. He's saying, we're about to discuss the questions we pose at the rabbis. The whole book is about what questions you might have on the rabbi's tradition and on the rabbi's institutions. So the Maharal says, before we begin, we have to realize our own shortcomings. And our first shortcoming is that we don't recognize how little we are. We think we're the same as they are. So he says, let's just review what they said about one another. And let's go to the Talmud that quotes to us what Rabbi Yochanan, who was a top rabbi, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan in many places in Talmud, what did he say about his predecessors? What did Abaye, who shows up all over Talmud, what did he say? And we're moving forward. Next time we'll pick up with Rava and then finally with Ravashi. And that will bring us towards the end of the introduction. We still got a ways to go in the introduction. And then we'll begin the actual book where the first chapter is going to focus on the rabbi's institutions and the responsibility we have in keeping the rabbi's words. And slowly but surely we'll make our way ahead addressing basic fundamental questions that a person would legitimately have about the validity of the oral tradition and the rabbi's capacity to make institutions. So that's why we're learning this work, because I think it's a very basic work. Although it's a deep work, it is a work that we have to be familiar with, and Bezalel Hashem will continue next time.